Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33:27. Psalm 37:23-24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholds him. Psalm 37:23-24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholds him. Psalm 37:23-24. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. This is a wonderful time for us. We're privileged to be here tonight. We have the opportunity to advance spiritually, to grow in grace and knowledge of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On the screen, we're going to see these two verses, Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. We'll be able to review for just a few moments verse 14, and then move into this magnificent 15th verse. We pray together before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Tonight, Father, we're thankful that you've given us the privilege of being here this evening. We're here because of your magnificent grace, saved by grace, kept by grace, blessed by grace. We're the recipients of grace in every area of life. We bow to express our deep thanks tonight that you care for us and you've blessed us all so richly. We realize that effective prayer requires capacity. And we realize also that capacity is gained as we advance on a day-by-day basis. That's our reason and our purpose of being here tonight, is to grow in advance, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to do that diligently and daily. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go back and look at verse 6. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which Paul says, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Ephesians 3, verse 8, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Christ. Verse 13, therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. You'll notice already and immediately that these verses 14 and 15 have been our verses for last Sunday and then tonight. Verse 14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Just to be sure that you know that the rest of the passage of this chapter is wonderful, let's look at it. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." Verse 17, "so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Effective prayer requires capacity. On the screen you see Ephesians 3:14. The Apostle Paul is saying, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Effective prayer requires capacity. Effective praying is also extremely important for us, but yet we realize oftentimes there are limitations in relationship to our praying. As long as we're alive, the Bible reveals very vividly that we're to communicate with God in prayer. Commanded to us to pray in Matthew 7:7, where it says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." On the screen, I have typed for you, "Ask," which means receive. "Seek," which means to diligently search for guidance. "Knock," and the door will be opened with intensity. When I go to Isaiah 65:24, the scripture says, "And it should come to pass that before I call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear." Isaiah 65:24 is an interesting verse. "And it should come to pass before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear." A few months ago, I asked myself the question, how far does a prayer travel in a second? And I typed this out for you and gave it to you some months ago. There must be a great distance from earth to heaven. We don't know exactly. We're told that the closest cluster of stars is said to be many light years away. If light travels at the rate of 186,282 miles per second, hitting the eyes of an individual on the earth and left 1,600,000 light years, light years, realizing that light travels 6 trillion miles in a year. With heaven, say, being billions of miles light years away, then we have to conclude that prayer travels fast. Now, I realize that those are strange drawing conclusions, but I just wanted you to see that when you bow in prayer, you must realize that prayer travels rapidly. In John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, we read, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Then verse 14 says, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." When you go to John 15:7, it starts off with a third class conditional clause, if ye abide in me, and my words abide, remain in you, whatsoever ye ask, it shall happen to you. I would encourage you to write somewhere John 14:13-14 and John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my words abide, remain in you, whatsoever ye ask, it shall happen to you. When I go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, I read a passage which probably you've already memorized, pray without ceasing. When you go to Hebrews 4:16, the scripture says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's Hebrews 4:16. If you're taking an outline, let me give it to you. Prayer does not have a limited subject matter. Prayer does not have a limited subject matter. It is communion. It is fellowship. When I find my way through the pages of the Word of God, I discover men have prayed for lengthened life, as did Hezekiah in 2 Kings 25 and following. I discover that men have prayed for help, as Daniel did in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 16. I realize that people have prayed for mercy, as David did in Psalm 51. I find that a person prayed for sight, as Barnabas did in Mark chapter 10, 46 and 47. The scripture says someone prayed for a son. It was Hannah in 1 Samuel 1:11. Someone prayed for grace. It was Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:8. Number two, prayer does not have geographical restrictions. People have prayed in many different places. No doubt about that. Jonah prayed in Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, in deep waters. Peter prayed on a housetop in Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Hezekiah prayed horizontally on a bed in Genesis 21:16. Jairus prayed in the street in Luke 8:41. Jesus prayed on the mountainside in Mark 6:46. Again, Jesus was praying on the cross. When you go to Luke 23:42, you will find Jesus praying on the cross. Number three, prayer does not depend upon the length of the prayer. Short prayers, as Peter, three words, Lord, save me, Matthew 14:30. Long prayers, like Moses at the consecration of the tabernacle, or Solomon at the dedication of the temple. Now, what I'm not going to do is read those long prayers. I do want you to see that they are recorded in 2 Chronicles 6:12-42. Immediately, you can see that there are a number of verses there. 2 Chronicles 6:12-42. Number four, effective prayer is not restricted to time, to age, position in life, or physical welfare. I'll give you time to take those notes if you so desire. Point four again. Effective prayer is not restricted to time, age, position in life, or physical welfare. For instance, let's take a note at time. David prayed, the scripture says, early in the morning. Silas prayed, most of you know, at night. So the scripture reveals that effective prayer is not restricted to time, age. David prayed in the morning. Silas prayed at night, related to time. What about age? Samuel prayed in his childhood. Timothy prayed in his youth. The centurion prayed in his manhood. Simeon prayed in his old age. Job prayed in sickness. Jacob and Jesus prayed while dying. I told you at the beginning you would not have time to take all these notes, but I find this very interesting. Considering age again, Samuel prayed in his childhood. Timothy prayed in his youth. The centurion prayed in manhood. Simeon prayed in his old age. Job prayed in sickness. Jacob and Jesus prayed while dying. Number five, there are various attitudes related to prayer. Some people think of prayer as just asking God. Some people think of prayer as asking. Some people think of prayer as arguing with God, telling God that you know what's better than what He thinks is better for you. Some people think of prayer as a first aid kit for times of trouble. Some people think of prayer as informing God of their own opinions. Some people think of prayer as a method with beautiful expressive terms to convince God to do for them what God does not want to do. Some people think of prayer as coaxing God or coercing God. Now, I realize that I've given you a lot of information and done it very rapidly. But let me ask you, number five, what really is prayer? Prayer is listening as well as talking. What really is prayer? Prayer is listening as well as talking. Abraham talked to God. God talked to him. Moses talked to God, and God talked to Moses. Elijah talked to God about the welfare of the people, and God spoke to Elijah. Nehemiah talked to God, and God talked to him about Jerusalem. What really is prayer? Roman numeral 6, prayer is power. Prayer is a developer. Prayer is a Christian's door to the wardrobe, the flavorer, and the perfumer of life. Let me ask you to think about that with me for a moment. Prayer is power. Prayer is a developer. Prayer is a Christian's door to the wardrobe, the flavorer, and the perfumer of life. Have you ever smelled an artificial flower? Life without harmony, without restoration to fellowship, without the filling of the Holy Spirit, without saturation with the Word of God, has no spiritual perfume. It might look good, but no fragrance at all. So the next time you're by an artificial flower, just bow down and smell and see if you can find some fragrance there. In Luke 18:1, Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. Not how to pray, but Lord, teach us to pray. Luke 11, 1. But let's consider Roman numeral 7, how to pray. Number one, pray without hypocrisy. We find that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Don't be as the hypocrites are. They love to stand in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Pray without hypocrisy. Matthew 6, 5. Don't be as the hypocrites are, who love to stand in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Number two, pray privately. Matthew 6, 6. He rewards openly when we pray secretly. Number three, pray with belief, with trust. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, the Scripture says. Jesus said to the father of the demoniac boy, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Number four, pray definitely. Matthew 6, 7 and 8. Do not use vain repetitions. Number five, pray submissively to God's plan. Jesus did that. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Number six, pray forgivingly. Envy, jealousy, bitterness must be gone. Envy, jealousy, bitterness must disappear. Mark chapter 11, 25 and 26. Listen to Jesus. He commands prayer in Luke 10, 2. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Listen to the praying apostle, the apostle Paul, in a scripture we looked at in Ephesians 1, 16. Also pray without ceasing, the scripture says. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 15 of Ephesians 3 says, of whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I need to ask a question tonight, and I'm moving rapidly. What about this subject of prayer? And I realize that I need to tell you that effective prayer comes from the believer inside of God's sphere of power, directed to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I realize that you're seeing that I'm saying a whole lot in one point, but I want you to analyze it with me. Effective prayer comes from the believer, number one, inside of God's sphere of power. Two, directed to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. These are points that you need to take down about what about prayer. Effective prayer comes from the believer who is in harmony, in fellowship, inside the divine power sphere, directed to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Our prayers, number two, are always to be subject to God's will. A very important point. Our prayers are always to be subject to God's will. Number three, God's ways are not always our ways. That's interesting, isn't it? God's ways are not always our ways. It's important for us to find ourselves in harmony with Jesus Christ on a day-by-day basis. And our prayer life should be one that says, in essence, not my will, but your will be done. Roman numeral 4, praying in faith hands everything over to God. Praying in faith hands everything over to God. Confident in His character. Confident in His purposes, rather than what we might think. You can see that all these points are extremely powerful and important, but I'm going rapidly because I have so much to tell you. Number four again, praying in faith hands everything over to God. Confident in His character, confident in His purposes, rather than what we may think. Roman numeral 5. When prayer is not answered in the way we expected it or hoped, God may actually be testing and building our faith. All of these points, I'm sure you're able to see, are extremely pungent and powerful. Roman numeral 5 again, when prayer is not answered in the way we expected or hoped, God may actually be testing and building our faith. I must tell you that in preparation for this night, I realized that going to the next verse next Sunday would not allow me to spend any time next Sunday on what I want to do tonight. And so that's the reason why I'm doing it so rapidly this evening. What I discovered is that when you turn through the pages of the Word of God, you will find praying people. So I'm titling this for just a few moments, Praying People. First of all, Abraham was a man of prayer. And angels came down from heaven to converse with him. You'll not be able to take all my sentences, but you can take the title, the names. Abraham was a man of prayer, and angels came down from heaven to converse with him. Jacob's prayer was answered in the wonderful interview at Peniel, great blessings resulted, and his brother Esau's heart was softened. That's the second one, Jacob's prayer. Hannah prayed, a child Samuel was given. Hannah prayed, and a child Samuel was given. We're talking about praying people in the Bible. Elijah prayed, and God sent fire from heaven to consume the offering of the rude altar he had built in the presence of God's enemies. I repeat, Elijah prayed, and God sent fire from heaven to consume the offering of the rude altar he had built in the presence of God's enemies. Again, Elijah prayed, and the heavens were closed up for 3.5 years. And then another prayer, and the heavens gave rain. You may want to be taking parts of this down. Elijah prayed, and God sent fire from heaven. Again, Elijah prayed, and the heavens were closed for 3.5 years. And then another prayer, and the heavens gave rain. Elisha prayed, and life came back to a dead child. The son of the Shunammite woman was raised from the dead. Manasseh, the wicked king who had done everything he could against the God of his father, cried out to God. His cry was heard. He was taken out of prison and put on the throne of Jerusalem. Some of these things you will discover that you are very familiar, and some of these things may not be all that familiar to you. Samson prayed, and his strength came back so that he slew more at his death than during his life. A restored backslider who now had power with God. Samson prayed, and his strength came back so that he slew more at his death than during his life. A restored backslider who now had power with God. Job prayed, and his capacity was turned. Daniel prayed, and Gabriel came to tell him that he was a man greatly beloved of God. The secret of God was made known to him, changing the course of history. Cornelius prayed, and Peter was sent to tell him words whereby he and his should be saved. Jesus prayed at the door of the tomb of Lazarus, and the one who had been dead for 4 years came forth. Paul prayed, and hundreds of churches were born in Asia Minor and Europe. Peter prayed, and Dorcas was raised to life to have added years of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul and Silas prayed in the Philippian jail. The place was shaken. The jailer was converted. The jail doors opened. Stephen prayed, looked up, and saw the heavens open and the Son of Man at the right hand of God. Have I given you a lot of information tonight? Do I have any more to give you? Yes. I want to close tonight by sharing with you what I'm calling prayer verses. You will not have to write this all out. All I'm asking you to do is write the reference down. I'm going to move all of this off of the screen. You've had a tremendous amount of information tonight. But these prayer verses, to me, are very powerful. The first one is, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18. The scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, your requests are to be made to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What I try to do is to write out a few little simple words by the verses. One of those is the word gratitude. Another is don't worry. And you'll notice I put worrying, fear, gone. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, this is the confidence we have approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. When I looked at 1 John 5:14, I put the word listening. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and being thankful. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Mark 11, 24, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will answer you. And that's found in Jeremiah 29, 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. One of the things that should characterize our praying is patience. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. Psalm 145, 18, call to me, I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Jeremiah 3, 3, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. Matthew 18, 20, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. One of the greatest needs of our life is mercy. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Matthew 6, 6, Father, in my distress I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From His temple He heard my voice. My cry came before Him into His very ears. Psalm 18, 6, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. 1 John 5:15. Therefore, confess your sins. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. James chapter 1, verse 6. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Blessing. Luke 6, 27, 28. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Now, I'm sure that most of you know the story that surrounds that illustration. At midnight, isn't it interesting to discover that Paul and Silas in jail are praying at midnight, singing hymns to God at midnight, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Acts 16, 25, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. What's so amazing about Ephesians 3, 14 and 15 is that we see the Apostle Paul down his knees. And he says, I bow my knees in prayer to the Father. And the Greek word there for Father is so interesting because there's an emphasis in verse 14 that's different than in verse 15, even though the same word is used. In verse 15, there's an emphasis upon the Father's family, the Father's clan, the Father's children. And the Scripture reveals to you and me that we are His offspring. We're members of His family. We've been born into that magnificent and wonderful family called the Royal Family of God. The Scripture reveals that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. May I close tonight by telling you, it is magnificent to know that the Bible has so much to say on the subject of prayer. We come at this time of the year to think about Thanksgiving, prayer at Thanksgiving. But I promise you that just like Christmas, to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, if you do not celebrate His birth every day, you really do not celebrate His birth very effectively at the December time. And if you don't express Thanksgiving every day of the year, really then Thanksgiving prayers are not all that effective. Do you follow what I'm saying? The Apostle Paul is saying, I bow my knees to the Father. And it's wonderful to know that in those verses, the Scripture emphasizes the fact that we belong to Him and He belongs to us. And He says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Prayer, God-given, wonderful. And may we pray together now. Father, we're thankful this evening for the opportunity which is ours and which has been ours to look at so many verses that relate to this subject of prayer. Help us to understand that this is a privilege, an honor, a wonderful, wonderful experience for us to know that we can come boldly to God's throne of grace. We are individual priests. We go directly to the high priest. We do not have to go through any human being on this earth. We do not have to go through anyone, because the Scripture says that the veil of the temple has been rent from top to bottom, which means very beautifully, very vividly, that we now all have access to the throne of grace. In these last moments of this service, we would like to say to the individuals who yet have never known the wonderful, magnificent privilege of having this fellowship with our Lord and with our God through Jesus Christ, that they could have that right now if they would, at this very moment, accept Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. This is the way we get into the family of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're thankful for those verses. This tells us so emphatically that there's only one way to salvation, and that is through Christ. It's by faith alone, in Christ alone. We're thankful that God loved the world so much that He gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And deity too, God's Son loved us so much, He was willing to leave heaven and come to the earth as the God-man and go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. We pray that there will be many right now, wherever they are, who will accept You as their personal Savior. Because the Scripture says, we get there by a simple prayer. Father, I accept You. What You've done for me through Jesus Christ, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior now. We pray that there will be many who will do that. And we thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.